These are very easy halachas. The easy halachas to read, but they're hard to fulfill. Halacha Yidal, Hanoi say most lachaveroi simin samach days.
Shin Yud Zayin.
Okay, well, let's do the finish the simin, then we'll come back to the shemesh and the halacha. A person was given money to buy something, and the shliach goes and he buys. He sees that it's a good deal, so instead of buying it for the mishalayach, he takes out his own money. He takes out of his wallet his own money. He writes his own check and he buys it for himself. Hare zeramai. He is a deceiver. It's not proper. Technically speaking, you've done nothing wrong. You were sent to purchase something for the mishaleach, for you were an agent, and you took advantage of the situation and you purchased this property for yourself. So technically speaking, you have done nothing wrong. They cannot hold it against you. They cannot take you to court. There's no din Torah. But you should know that in Shemayim you are in trouble. Hare zeramai, this person is a deceiver, because this the example of oni. Hamahapech bacharara. If a poor man is trying to pick up a loaf of bread on the floor and someone comes along and snatches it away, that is unethical. So here is a classic example. Now, the imkino mimos shel hamishlech. Let's say the money that he used was the money from the mishlech, and he says, you know what, I'm using his money, but I'm buying it for myself. I'll pay back the mishlech. Then it doesn't work. Then it's not just a matter of ethics, it's a matter of law. Sometimes it's a matter of law, and sometimes it's a matter of ethics. When you can't get caught, when there's no government, when there's no authority that can demand you undo what you've done, that's no longer in the category of halacha, that's in the category of ethics. And here, in a situation where you actually use the money of the mishlech, it's not a question of ethics, it's worse than ethics, it's a matter of halacha. And in that case, you're mechuyev to give the property, the object which you purchased, to the mishlech. Mechuyev lidno lo afal pi shekino li atzmo, even though you told the buyer that I'm buying it for myself. Maybe you signed your own name. Maybe on the deed you signed your name and the condition was I'm buying it for myself, but being the money that was used for the purchase was from the mishlech, you al pi halacha, bezin can force you to give, to release the object and give it to the mishalech. Halacha tezvav. Mi shenosan lafilu rak mikzas damim ala mikach. A person makes a down payment. Oy sherosham al hamikach. Simen bifnei hamoich. Or you sign a document. You go to lease a car and you sign a document. Oy sheamol hamoich rishoy mikach acha. Or the moicher says, I want you to make some type of simon, sign something, some type of simon. Even though legally you have not yet, the deal is not complete, and according to the law you are able to back out, but you have done something, you have made some type of tangible commitment to continue with the purchase. Mikol makom kol achzer bo. So here it's a scary halacha. Bein alakech ben amoicha lo yosam asi yisrael v'chayiv lekabel. He has done something which is unethical, and yichayiv lekabel a curse. Misha para. What does it mean? Misha para. Tahaynu she'oyerin also bebeisin v'armim bezdin. They curse such a person and make the following declaration. Misha para me anshe dor hamabel u'me anshe dor haflaga u'me anshe sedom va'amora u'me Mitzrayim shetov vayam. That's really scary stuff. The people who died in the Mile, people who died in Haflog, the people that died in Stone, by more the people that died in Mitzrayim, who yipar, may he punish, may he extract payment, mimi she'enoi oy meid b'dibur, from a person that is not true to his word. So once a person does some type of tangible, makes a tangible commitment to go through with a certain transaction, even though it's not binding by law, and you have the right to retract, a person, if he's not true to his word, he's chayiv to receive this curse. This is one of the reasons why Bizman Hazeh, among the Ashkenazim, they don't do the tnoim anymore. It used to be in ancient times that when you get engaged, at the engagement party, you fill out the tnoim. Today, they fill out the tnoim under the chub, by the chassid's tish. Before they fill out the ksuba, they fill out the tnoim. What is the tnoim? The tnoim basically means, I accept upon myself the achrayis that I'm going to get married. I will get married. So if you may do the tzuyin by the wedding, well, you know, you're already here at the wedding hall, and you're already all dressed, and the photographer is here, and so the tzuyin basically, when you sign the tzuyin, it lasts about 10 minutes. From the time you sign the tzuyin until you go down the chuppah, it's about 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is. That's the tzuyin. That's not what the tzuyin was. The tzuyin was meant to be, they used to get married a year, probably take a year. You get married a year, and then for a year you go to work. After you sign the tzuyin, no, the tzuyin?
No,
no, the tzuyin. No, the tzuyin is not kiddushin.
No,
some people say that it's easier.
It's better to get a get. The better if a person wants a broken engagement. So what's the person go through the steps? So what's the problem? The problem is mishapara. It's very, very scary. A person would get engaged and they would sign tonight by an engagement party and they would plan to get married in 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, a year, whatever it is. And then after 3 months, Chasson Kala realized that at least, let's say worse, one party. If it's mutual, that's a different story. But let's say one of the two parties decides that they don't want to go through with the shidduch and the other party is very hurt. So the person that backs out is over on mishapara. Mishapara me dar hamabul, me dan she dar aflog, it's a very scary curse. It's a very, very big problem. So they would
make somebody pay off.
So, but there's no such klala curse if you get divorced. If you get divorced, the Torah says you get married, you don't like it, you give a get. There's no such thing as mishapara. So they used to say it's better if a person engaged, sign the tanaim, and he wants out, it's better for him to get married and give a get than to break an engagement.
I see them still do it.
They still do it. That's right, because tradition, Hasidim, it's a credit to them. If they want to preserve tradition, it's a credit to them, and it definitely makes you think twice before breaking an engagement. Ashkenazim, unfortunately, it's Ma'aseh L'chol Yom, where people get engaged. It's Ma'aseh L'chol Yom, people get divorced, but it's Ma'aseh L'chol Yom where people get engaged. Oh, it's still a big deal. A broken engagement. What's the big deal? What's the big deal? That's how it's become today. So because that's the way we live, and broken engagements are common. It became the minhag. You know what? Don't get yourself involved in the mishapara. Better not sign the tnoyim until you come to the chuppah, until you come to the wedding. And therefore, because there are many people that don't even do tnoyim altogether. You come to the chassis tish, and they don't even bother with the tnoyim because the tnoyim is just guarantee you're going to get married. We're getting married, so why do we have to go spend time filling out this document? So many people don't want to go that far because it's tradition to have tnoyim. So even though it's only for 10 minutes, you don't want to play around with ancient tradition. So you'll sign the tnoyim for 10 minutes. What? They don't do it at all? They never did it?
I'm not sure about that.
But okay, I know of Herschel Schachter. I know in many situations he does not, yes, of Herschel Schachter, he does not do Tanoim.
They changed, now they do a prenup.
The prenup is a different thing. They do the Hayalichud V'Hayalichud. There's a prenuptial, but the prenuptials don't do the Tanoim. There are three things. There's prenuptials, there's Tanoim, and there's Aksuba. So there are many people that feel, there are Rabban that feel that there's no, if you're not going to have the Tanoim when you get engaged, there's no willing to have the Tanoim at the time of the wedding. Okay, other people are very strong that you have to have the Tanoim because they're different. There are brachos, the Nusach, the Tanoim is sacred. And there are certain brachos in the Tanoim, and you don't want to deny the Chasson Kala from these mystical things. So everyone does what they are taught to do. But this is the inyan of mishapara. Now they do. What do they do today? They have a Tanoim. They have to have a shtar mechila, right? Let's say a shtar mechila. It's like a get almost. A shtar mechila that you write. The other party says, "I forgive you. You've broken the engagement. You've caused me great grief and pain, but I forgive you. And the reason why I'm forgiving you is because you gave me $30,000. You've given me a nice money, so for the money, I forgive you. Yeah, but just because someone pays you off, that doesn't really mean, not all the time. Maybe in some situations it does. Okay, so it's not so simple. It's not so simple. Okay, let's go further. Now, Locha Tez Zayin. The royal lawyer. What?
So any verbal.
No, it has to be something tangible. There has to be something. You give a cow an engagement ring.
I'm not talking about engagement, just mekach.
Any mekach. So the rules are now he's going to go in the next Halacha Tezayin talk about a verb. That's Halacha Tezayin. Halacha Tezvav is where there was something tangible. You signed a document. You did something. You signed a document. You shook someone's hand. There was there was an agreement that was enhanced with something that's tangible, but it's not legal. It's not legal. According to the law, according to Bez and according to secular law, you're not obligated. You can call up.
Plus something.
Right. So because there was something tangible, you're now in a situation of Misha Parah. There's a curse. Let's say there was nothing tangible. There was just a verbal agreement. Then there's no curse. But it's still not the right thing to do. And that's what he discussed in Halacha Tezayin.
What about people who do a work where they walk around and say, Mekabel Kenyan?
What? They make a var, then Mekabel Kenyan?
An agent to do the act.
No, Mekabel Kenyan to go to the
Chuppah.
Yeah, so that...
But they don't write anything.
They don't write... That's problematic. That's problematic. That's also, to a certain degree, that's a commitment. That's also a scary thing. It's not just oral. Look, the truth is, you have an engagement party. So what? So that's not called something tangible. He says over here, you have over here, mishnas nafilu mixas dam shirosham alamikach simim b'fnei hamoichas. You write something down. So making a fancy engagement party for $20,000, that's not called something tangible. Is it really any different than actually signing a document? I don't know. How far do you go? I don't know the answer. Halacha tezayin. The roy loy liadam lamoy loy bidibur. A person has to be very careful. Now, even if there is nothing tangible, there's just an agreement. How many times you ask this story? I'll give you something, and person backs out. Shafilu loy nosa nadayin mos v'loy rosha mesadava v'loy nigmaraki and nothing, zero zilch. There was just an understanding between two people that we're going to do something. Im hushvu al hamechir, if a price was set, there was some understanding. Ein l'shum echad mehem l'achzar. It's not proper to back out. He had this by the, you don't believe how many stories. Learning the Megillah, people get all worked up about learning the Megillah. Some shuls, the biggest covet of the year for many people, for Balei Kriya, to learn the Megillah. Learning the Megillah, whole shul. Think about how many times a year is the shul packed
and quiet.
How many times?
And
it's even more than Yom Kippur, especially this year. Mitzvah Shabbos. Everyone is well fed. Everyone is well fed, and there are a lot of people who want to lay in the Megillah, and the rabbi or the gabbai has to decide who gets to lay in the Megillah, and there's a certain understanding. You know, I'm the full time Baal Kore, or I laid last year, I laid the year before, and there are a lot of misunderstandings, and there are a lot of bad feelings that come. What are the rules? So if there's an understanding, now you want to back out all the considerations to give this one, that one, who should do it. It's not so simple. It used to be, but today, I don't think, today in this society, more or less, it's a covet to lay in from the Megillah. People would pay in certain, really, people would pay in certain communities to have the zuchus to lay in the Megillah. Okay, it depends. So in certain places, even laning, there are certain places where it's a very choshua kehila. People would really pay for having the schus to lane. They don't let just anyone lane. You have to meet up to the standards. That's what Rabbi Wayevsky. But you have to. It all depends. It all depends on the.
You set me up. Everyone is going to be like the guy who they can't wait to jump on.
There's an agreement on the price. If someone backs out, a new category, not a curse, but in the category of lacking faith. The Ein Ruach Chachamim Nocho Himenu, they do not derive pleasure from such a person. Ki Roi Le'ish Yisrael La'amod B'diburei K'mo Shenemar She'eris Yisrael, the remnant of Klal Yisrael, Lo Ya'asu Avlo, they do not do harm. V'lo Yidabru Chazad, and they do not speak falsehood. V'irei Shamayim Yesh, now this is a very shocking thing that he says. V'irei Shamayim Yesh Lo Lekayim Af filu machasheves libo sheim chosha v'gomar b'libo limkor loy b'skum zeh. If you want, you decide in your heart, I'm going to sell you an object for a certain amount of money. and the buyer, the potential buyer, does not really know how much you're willing to sell it for, you already decide, I'm going to sell it to him for $100. That's it, I'm going to give it to him for $100. And the buyer thinks, who knows, will want $200. The house of low, I'll scum there. And the buyer says, all right, I know you don't want to sell it, I'll give you $200. Lo yikach mimenu ki im scum zeh shegomar belim. Who can be omen in such an assayan? Only sell it to him for $100. Since you already decided, you already spoke to your wife and you committed yourself and you didn't even machshav, you thought about it. I'm going to give it to him for $100, and now he offers you $200. If you're Yerush Shemayim, you're going to only take from him $100 because in your machshav you agreed to $100. The Kai Mashinemar.
Who offered $200, they think. The guy is taking only 100, he may think it's a defective item he's buying.
You tell him it's not defective, you tell him, you open up the Kitta Shulchan Aruch and you show him what it says, and you tell him, I'll give you $200, he'll be very happy. V'doiver, it's a pasuk, V'doiver emes bilvavo, someone who speaks emes in his heart. There's a very popular Musar Vart, I don't remember the name of the Tanaim, it's a beautiful Vart. One of the Tanaim, there was a Tano who was in the middle of saying Kriya Shema. We're milled out in Shemona Esrei, and a person comes and says, "I know you have a certain horse, a certain piece, an object. I want to buy it. I want to buy it $50." So the Tanu, the Amora, was in the middle of Shemona Esrei, the middle of Kriya Shema. So he thought $50.
The first
pair of Kriya Shema. Who don't remember who it was? The mayor.
It was
It's a Gemara, Kedushin. So the Tana in his mind, he said, good, okay, I'm going to sell it to him. $50, excellent, I accept. He said this while he was davening. And then the buyer thought that he's not, in Kol Vein Oine, because he's in the middle of Shemona Esrei, he can't respond. He didn't know that he's in the middle of Shemona Esrei, he thought he's just giving him a hard time. Okay, $60. No response. $70, $80, $100, $200, $300, $500. Finally, finishes Shemona Esrei. He could have taken $500. He says to him, sir, you came to me. You offered me $50. I was willing to accept right away. I was in the middle of davening Shemona Esrei. That's why I didn't respond. But I know now you're willing to give me $500. It's okay. I'll take it for $50. Okay, beautiful story. So the Baal HaEmunah said, what's the godless of the story? So he asked the average person, wow, what a tzaddik. He was offered, he could have taken $500. No one would have known. What an unbelievable darug of Yerush Shemayim. He didn't take more than he was entitled to. No one would have known. According to the letter of the law, it's mutter. That's not the godless. The godless is, he admitted that even though I was davening Shemona Esrei, I was listening to your bid. How many Rosh Yeshiva today go into all the Shtibluch, into all the big rabbis, and you go over to them and you start whispering to them, how many of them are going to admit to you that when they were davening their holy Shemona Esrei, they were also listening to your conversation? The fact that a Tanu and Amor was willing to admit that he was listening to someone's conversation in the middle of Shemona Esrei, wow, that's the real godless.
You buy an Esrei by then, and they decided to sell for 100.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give you 150.
I don't know how someone heard a story told about Rothschild, the first Baron Rothschild, that it was Shabbos, and someone wanted to buy some property, and they sent him a telegram for $100. Shabbos, he didn't open up the telegram, 200. And then after Shabbos, he opened up just the last telegram.
The last telegram.
He thought, and that was the highest price.
So that's right.
That don't get auctioned is not really
say again?
An auction. But you're really auctioning, you're asking for a higher price.
Of course, so that's a technique, that's different. When you have an auction, that's part of the people bid. That's different. That's not a... That's a different situation. Now, there's a very, very common shayla. You're in shul and there's someone going around. The gabbai is going to collect staka. Or someone comes and the collector walks into shul and they let him in and he starts collecting. And he says, all right, I'll give him a dollar. I'll give him a dollar. What do I care? And then before you turn around, he's gone. So you're already in your mind, very common, you're already in your mind committed yourself that when he comes over to me and starts harassing me, I'll give him the dollar. And now he's gone. My lucky day. He disappeared. So are you mechuyev to give? Are you still mechuyev to give that dollar? You never even opened up your wallet. So that's the issue. That's exactly what it says here in this halacha. V'doiver emes bilvavo. Especially when it comes to tzedakah. That's going to be a special halacha later on.
Yeah. Verizon was saying that when you went to shul in the morning, You said, I'm going to give tzedakah, but the guy never came around.
Even that, you're mechuyev.
Even then, you're mechuyev.
The doiver emes bilvo. It's not that you're mamash chayev, but it's the right thing to do. Because of this pasuk, it's mechushri. I'm on, it's a very high level, but a yorei shemayim should accustom himself to do these things.
There's a story once of someone who wanted to give tzedakah a dollar, and he pulled out a $20 bill.
No, that's different.
So, no.
But, yeah.
And you can't, he couldn't take it back. He wouldn't take it back.
Because he only...
But he wouldn't take it back.
Uh-huh. That's a lamala. That's a derech hasidus. That is not mechuyev. He only meant to give a dollar. No, by mistake, he took a $20 bill. That's not chayev to do that. You can take it back. You ever see someone taking a $20 bill and put it into a vending machine? Oh, I'm hungry. I want this chocolate bar for 50 cents. All I have is a $100 bill. So I'm sure the machine won't discriminate. You think so?
Yeah.
$100 bill? $20 bill?
It doesn't read it. I won't be able to read it.
Why would you design the machine? Yeah. Absolutely. It's davening. Davening is not a time for collecting. Absolutely. 100%.
So if someone comes in a collector.
Yeah.
During Shemini Esrei.
Yeah.
Whether you are or not davening Shemini Esrei is not the point, but you say, I'll give him a dollar.
Well, you see from the Gemara such a thing, from that time that he was not even stuck, was Mekach Nemka. Right. It was Mekach Nemka, and he committed himself to the cheaper price for Dev Emes Bulvavos. Yeah, even though it's Middle Shemona Esrei. Even though you did in the middle of Shemona Esrei. We're not on a level with Zman HaZeh that our Shemona Esrei is on such a level where you're.
So this is the definition of Yerusha.
The guy went around the base medish at MPJ, and he was going around and he walked with Rav Moshe. He was in the middle of Yerusha. Rav Moshe had his towel totally covered him, and his head was down on the
chest.
And he was totally immersed in Yerusha. And the guy stuck his hand under between the desk and his face and kept going like this, and he didn't stop. And he didn't, like he was like to say, and he kept saying things like that. Finally, two people walked over. I don't remember who it was. Two men walked over and carried him out of the basement.
Yeah.
But all the buffer were laughing, so he just didn't stop.
Desperation.
He waited for 30 seconds there. Right?
It's sad.
That's also something that says that people are going in front of his face.
Yeah, the shower.
It's very sad. People are very desperate. Let's go further. The buyer agrees to purchase an object for a certain price. He may not change his mind. Furthermore, when it comes to matters of an adam lachavera, if you promise, you commit yourself to do your friend a favor, I'm going to do you something. The yesh lekayim machshavos libo im gomar belibo lasos eiz etayv yesh b'delasosa avol tzorche atzman. Here's what about yourself? Let's say you say to yourself, today I am going to the image in Shiloh. You're in the middle of the shiur and you're hungry. You're in the middle of the shiur and you said, you commit yourself that when the shiur is over, you're going to go downstairs for lunch. Right? You're hungry. You commit yourself in machshav, you're going to go downstairs. So let's say after shiur is over, you decide, you know what? I'm not going to go downstairs.
But you have to go because you committed yourself a dollar and a quarter of tzedakah.
So if it's benogeh to someone else, if it's benogeh to chanami, that's exactly what it says. Doiver emes bilvavo. If it's to the benefit of someone else, you're mechuyev. You are mechuyev to be true to your machshava, not just your word. But if there's no benefit to anyone else, if you're sitting here in the shiur and you think after it's over, I'm going to go home and eat a piece of cheese, and then you come home later on and you decide, you know what, I'm not going to eat cheese. I decide I don't want to eat the cheese. So maybe you'll say this, you'll say, you violate the halacha of a doimer emes bilvavo. You have to be true to yourself. Maybe we go so far. No. Is there such a svar to say such a thing?
You can't go to a pizza store, even though you're not going to get the pizza. You don't have to go.
The pizza store, by the way, pizza store, you're giving some business, but that's not your problem. That's not your obligation. That's not your business. It's not your problem. But the answer is no. You have no obligation to fulfill, to be true. You can change your mind. That's a chiddush. Think about it. If a person is the perfect dugma shalmala, person is mamish Yaakov Avinu, ish emes. So maybe you can argue that if a person decides he's going to do something, you have to be true to your thoughts, to your plans. You have to have integrity. Ad kedei kach. Is there such an argument? Is that argument correct? The Kita says no such thing. This idea that you have to be true to your thoughts and certainly to your words is only when it comes to someone else. But there's no such degree of emes, of integrity, that is required of a person to be true to his to himself.
He says it later.
He says it right here.
Yeah.
If there is no element of mitzvah involved in your commitment, in your decision, more than that, even if you say it out, today, after the shir is over, I'm going to go home and eat a sandwich. Oh, you have to be an ish emes, the words came out of your mouth. No, it's not okay. Anyone else but yourself, you're allowed to change your mind. Halacha yitzayin. This is a very interesting concept. You pledge to give your friend a gift. Okay, now you have to read the whole halacha before you get carried away. You'll get very disturbed if you don't come in the halacha. So let's go the whole thing in one shot. You say to your friend, guess what? Today is your lucky day. I'm going to give you a gift. I have a computer to give you. I have some electronic device. Lead in my eze matana katana, a small matana. The friend, wow, I can't wait, he's going to give me this gift. If I change my mind, I do not give it to you. It's not a business transaction. This was a freebie. This was unexpected. It doesn't matter. If I already committed myself to give you a gift, I must be true to my word. That's by a matana kitana. But if I tell you, guess what? Today's your lucky day. I'm giving you a car, $50,000 car. It's yours for the taking. After the shir is over, come, I'll give you the keys. So now, when the shir is over, we go outside. I say, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm not giving it to you. I'm going to give it to my son. Even though I committed myself, so not only is there no violation of halacha, not only is there no mishapara, there's not even a violation of being minchusrei amona. Oh, but I committed myself. I said to you in the shir zone, I'm giving you a $50,000 car. So I the words came out of my mouth. It's nagei you. It's a benefit to you. What's the difference? You know what the answer is? Because he doesn't. Your friend doesn't believe you. What, he lost his mind? He's going to give me a $50,000 car. If he tells me that he's going to give me a $5 gift, okay, he's told me he has an extra gift certificate. Okay, that I believe. $5 gift. If he told me he's going to give it to me, I believe him. If he doesn't give it to me, he is me mechus shrei amona. But if he tells me he's going to give me a $50,000 car, I know he's just joking with me. I never really believed him to begin with. So now when he changes his mind, even though it's possible, you never know, even though it's not mechus shrei amona, because the logic is a person doesn't really believe your friend's going to give you such a large gift. A person should not accustom himself to play such games. When a person says something, his word is sacred. A person says something, don't say something if you don't really mean it. Don't say things when you plan that you're going to change your mind. A measurement that is righteous, sedek, another type of measurement. These are different types of measurements. There are 12 eifa in one hin. A hin is 12 eifa. Tzedek yihyeh lochem shall be to you. Ma tam lemar hin tzedek. Why does the pasuk repeat itself with the words hin tzedek? V'aloi hin michlal eifa. But a hin is included in an eifa. It's also a different type of measurement. Ella, the Gemara makes a drash. The word hin comes from the word hein. Hein means yes. When you say to your friend, yes, I will do something, be true to you, your word, it shall be tzedek. Ella kishehei hein shall the love shall chatzedek, your yes and your no shall be true. The chol zos le asher, everything that we learned until now is true when it comes to an asher, to a friend that does not need to take handouts. But if a poor man comes to you and asks you for a gift and you promise him, I'll give you a new car, I'll give an organization staka, that already is a new madrega. If you promise, make a pledge to an organization to give a large gift and you back out and you are not true to your word, then you are mechus shrei amona. If you pledge to go to a shul, this is very serious. Many people
are
have to be redeemed? Are you over a Misha Pora? Not Mukhruch, but are you over Mechush Ramona? Absolutely. V'chol zos le'ashir aval ha'oimer litin le'oni, bein matan muretes, bein matan meruba. If you go to shul and you're shamed into making a pledge, right, they're going around making a yisker appeal, and the people start calling on money, they go look around, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, how much are you giving? And no one is walking out of here until they can make a pledge. Some gaboyim are very talented. They can hold you up. They can give you a real guilt complex. Ever see that? There are some people who know how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's an art. You know how to do it. You can make a lot of money. Make a lot of enemies. So he says now that it's not just a matter of Mechutz Ramon, it's not just a matter of Misha Pora, it's the third degree, first degree. The first degree is, it's halacha. It's a vow. Even a person has kavon, tzof, lekayim, achashav, lihar, this is very often it comes to a shul pledge, where they start collecting, where they start making pledges. And then you feel that you're in the category, you know, they're up to the 180s. And you're that group, and you know that it's just a matter of time until the gabbai gets to you and demands $180. Okay, I'll give $180, and guess what? They never come around. All of a sudden, okay, the appeal is over, and you're going to give. It's a good organization, but I'm only want to give now $100. I don't want to give $180. So l'chayr, that's all part of the halacha of gomar belibo. If you already say, you know what, they already got me. I see that the curtain is falling. I'll give the $180, and it never happened. And now you only want to give $100. No, you have to give $180 because doiver emes bilvavo. And he says even it borders on being the din of a pledge of a neder, being that you're dealing with the devar tzedakah. You're not just dealing with a matter of a business transaction, a personal matter. New case. If a person wants to sell karka, now the interesting halacha, if you want to sell a piece of property, house, or you want to sell land or a bais, and two buyers come, and everyone wants to give the same price. It's not a matter of the money is the same. They're both willing to pay the same amount of money, but one of them is your neighbor. So this is called Dina de Bar Netzra. The one that has first rights is the neighbor, because the neighbor, it's a convenience for the neighbor to have property that is adjacent. That's the halacha. It's not the daraisa, the sedin, the rabbanon, and you mechuyev to give it to him no matter what. So first he goes on to say that both of these people that want to purchase the property are not. None of the two are a neighbor. If one of the two people is from your city, from your community, ben iroi koidem, someone from a ben ir comes first. Let's say two people from your and one of them is a neighbor. Neighbor is not a ben metzra. It's not next door. He's just a neighbor. He's more local. He comes first. Let's say the second one is your friend, who you're familiar with. The neighbor friends have benefits. Okay, friends come with benefits. Since he's your friend, even though he's not on the block. He's not a ben metzra. But he's your friend. He lives in the same city. He comes first. A friend and a relative. Now here we mean a relative that's not your friend. He's a relative. How often do I see him? Once a year, twice a year.
He's a fourth cousin.
He's not my friend. I'm much closer with my friend than I am with my relative. Who gets it? Friends have benefits. Chaveroi koidim shenemar pasek toiv shochin koroiv, a neighbor who with koroiv in this context means who you're close with. Me'och, a brother rachoik who have you nothing to do with. Avol l'shar kol adam koroiv koidim. But let's say you're dealing with two people. One person is a stranger, and the other person is a relative. Even though I have very little to do with my relative, I'm not his friend, but we're just acquaintances. We're relatives. Then the relative comes first. Me'ov sarcha al tesalem. Do not hide yourself from relative chutz mitalmid chacham. The only exception is a talmud chacham as kedima shekoydim afil l'shchene v'chaveru haragel etzto. A real talmud chacham always has kedima. It's a mitzvah to be mahane talmidei chachamim. Avol im hayu echad mechem baal hametzer. But let's say one of the people that's coming forward is the next door neighbor, Mamish, who kaidem luchulam, he comes first. Afilu liachar shemachor liachar yochel balametzah liten esadam milukagach. Even if you already sold it, he can demand the bez and make achtos, I want it back. Halacha lemaisa, does this apply bizman hazeh? You have two houses, you want to sell the house next door. Now muchruch. Din ba metzra, only luchar balas by karaka. Because karaka, you can annex, it's Mamish, the plow keeps on going. Well, let's say you want to sell a lot because you want to do construction, you want to make it into one big house. If the zoning laws permit you to knock down both houses and make one continuous house, that's fine. But if you just have a next door, I have a house, and there's a house next door, and the house next door is for sale, and you can sell it to either the next door neighbor, or you can sell it to someone else, is there such a thing called Din Dabar Metzra? Not Muchach. Many times, what? Right, if the zoning laws permit, yes, if the zoning laws permit you to knock down both houses and build one massive house on the slot, yes, that is Mamish Dina de Bar Metra. He had this with Schultz, right? Shul, there's a house that becomes available for sale next to an institution, next to a shul, or next to a yeshiva, and there are people who want to purchase, and the person who's living there before hates the institution, he has a big fight with the rabbi, and doesn't want to sell his house to the shul, but the rabbi wants to buy the house, the shul wants to buy the house so they can expand the shul into that house. The shul wins, because the shul is the bar mitzvah. Of course, provided the zoning laws permit you want to expand. But if the zoning laws do not permit you to expand, so just a matter of convenience, then instead that I'll have a house here and a house there, the next to each other, it's not muchruch and halacha that you say din de bar mitzvah. Din de bar mitzvah, mikra din is where the two are contiguous. They are connected mamish like land. Land the animal can plow, go from one field straight to the next without have to reversing the plow. Yeah.
Start out with the assumption that the bids were equal?
Yes, we're going in the situation where the bids are equal.
Work in general.
Let's assume, you're right, let's assume now that the bids are equal. Let's make that assumption. That's the case that he's discussed. The bids are not equal, then the rules do not always apply. However, there are exceptions. If the bids are not equal, I think there are rules where you can allow to pay later. You'll pay now the base price. There is some flexibility. Din de Bamesh is a very powerful halacha, which even if the bids are not equal, as long as over a period of time you will pay a reasonable amount of time. Yeah, I can't pay all the money now. I can't pay what he's offering. I can't pay.
The way things work, especially in real estate, on down payments. It's usually not full.
Yeah, but even down payments, there are different time periods of how many people they sell. They want cash. You're the seller. You're the al yoyna. If you're the seller,
yeah.
I want every penny right now. The bank's going to pay me. You're not paying. You're paying the bank. So let's say the bank says, "Well, this person he doesn't make enough. He doesn't have a job where he could
that would kill his bid."
But we're willing to work out. The bank is willing to work out there are arrangements that can be made. Okay, we're not going through all the details. How much leeway do you give a bar mitzvah? Every situation has to be judged individually. If two people are coming to buy the next one, one is willing to pay double. So l'chayr, that's it. He's paying double. That's not din damesh. That's not fair. But let's say it's not double. It's just a few thousand dollars more. And the bar mitzvah can't afford to pay the few thousand dollars more. But over time, he will pay the few thousand dollars more. Does the law of din damesh apply? What are the guidelines? How far does din damesh go? So every case has to be evaluated. There are guidelines and hashulchan aruch. All the rules of din de bar mitzvah. It's very complicated. And again, doesn't that just because you're selling your house and you want the house next door is for sale, I want to buy that so that my child can live, my son, my daughter can live there next door to me, that's not luchr, that's din de bar mitzvah. Din de bar mitzvah is where you're going to knock them both down and you're going to have one big house. If you're not going to knock them both down, you can have a driveway in between. It's a matter of convenience. He lives on this block. He's not going to live on the cross of the street. That's not muchr, din de bar mitzvah. But where you're going to knock them two down, that's already a different story. Okay, let's go. Let's go further. Talmud Chacham, we said, comes first.
Somebody has in their mind to give.
Yeah.
Let's take the other way. When a charity calls you on the phone and says, you know, last year you
last
gave.
Last year
you gave. You never gave. That's a lie.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. You're not a chuyev. You're not a chuyev. That's ridiculous.
What did you do? Do you have to?
What? If it was, if you were a fool, me and I'm a chuyev to give. If it was a lie, the whole thing was based.
The charity
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The only reason why you're giving is not because the goodness of your heart. It's because you were fooled. They fooled you.
But is a charity allowed to fool you?
No, they're not. Absolutely not. What? They're above Shulchan Aruch. They're above Shulchan Aruch. I get a certain organization every year sends me that. They send me an invoice. $18.
Yeah.
When did I ever commit myself to give you $18? Never. As if they write in the letter that you've pledged $18. What a lie. This is fraud.
Can we depend on
this? This is fraud. It's total fraud.
They're working on your feelings, that's all.
Exactly. It's a technique. And they're allowed to do this. It's a very chashev institution with chashev Rosh Yeshiva. This is fraud. Straight out fraud. What right do you have to do this?
I don't even know they're doing it.
Telemarketing.
No, but the Rosh Yeshiva doesn't.
So telemarketing is, look, you're allowed to harass people. How far does it go? One thing, you want to go send someone a letter, you want a postcard. All right. So that's a much lower degree of harassment.
You have no obligation.
They already stopped doing that. A lot of the organizations already stopped that. It's they send you calendars. Years ago, they used to send expensive items. They would send svarim. They send you mishalach manos. You can even keep it. I never asked you for this.
Sure.
All right, let's go for let's finish up.
What about co-signing? If you co-sign, then there's a lot of gray area in there.
You're lying.
If it only comes to you and asks you to co-sign, how would you know, in your mind, you say, well, how can you possibly afford it? So maybe I'm
you're taking a risk. If you're a co-signer, you're taking a risk. You're obligated to be true to your word. That's what part of being a co-signer. You accept the party some responsibility, then if he defaults on the payment, then you'll fill in. So that you're responsible.
If in your mind you feel that this man is going to pay it, and he doesn't, it's his responsibility.
That.
In your mind, again, it's legal, ethical, and law.
If you sign the dotted line, let's finish up.
The original guy ran off to the United States.
Okay, let's finish up.
The other guy was liable for thousands of dollars.
A bar metzra has the power to go to Bezin, to go to court and demand that the buyer had no right to buy it. I am the next door neighbor. L'salik, also you can force the buyer to release himself from the transaction and you can come in and take over the property. No exceptions. Even if the buyer is a Talmud Chacham and a neighbor, the Karv L'moicher, the Amitran, who am ha'aretz, the next door neighbor is an ignoramus. Doesn't matter. I am the next door neighbor. I have first rights. That's the way the rule is. The rochak min amochar hamitzvan koydem. The mitzvan comes first. The mesalik lokech v'muchol kedimois elu mitzvos chachomim heim. These are the mitzvos of chachomim. L'kayim hashnemar ve'osisa hayoshar ve'hatoy be'enei Hashem. You do what's yoshar v'toy. And what are the hot issues? The really hot shaila is when it comes to getting a job. Okay, this is the real hot issue. Very often, more often than not, you have a rabbi retires and there's an assistant rabbi. Okay, there are many shuls. The assistant rabbi, you know, he's like the rabbi in waiting. Mm. He's just as good. He's maybe the shul imagines they go.
The assistant rabbi doesn't get the job.
I wouldn't say that. Yeah, that's not choosing most of the time. It's not most of the time. So why isn't an assistant? I laughed off an assistant rabbi. Any job.
Rabbi.
Assistant to the rabbi from the old different schos. So why don't we say the rule of Dina de Bar Metzra? I'm the next one. I'm in waiting. You have all these halachas. You have someone who's a korev and a shochein.
Because the kahal could say we want the best guy. We don't want the guy.
But the best. So the next door neighbor can say I can sell. There's also a different type of neighbor. You know, I have a neighbor. There are different types of neighbors. You have a good neighbor, you have a bad neighbor. I don't want this person to be the neighbor. I'm living here. He's selling the house to someone that I don't like.
So buy it.
What?
So buy it. That's why you have an option of buying it.
You have a
Do we apply the dinim conceptually of dinim the bar mitzvah when it comes to a position? Let's say a child. Another. What about the son of a rabbi? Does the son of a rabbi have kedima to inherit his father's job? What? No, not talking about chassid. I'm talking about in a regular organization. Organization has a board and has a structure. Is there such a thing in halacha? In the secular world, there's no such thing, of course. Secular world, you have a company, you go to a company, and then the CEO retires. What, the son's going to take over? Even if the son has all of the education and all the background, he has an MBA from the best schools, and he has experience, even if the son is working there for 20 years, in the Geisha world, what, the son's going to go say to the board, listen, my father was the CEO, I'm just as educated as my father, I have just as much experience, I'm here, you mechuyev al pi halacha, according to law, to let me become the new CEO. They'll laugh at him. They'll laugh at him. They'll send him get lost. That's not the way the society, that's not the way the secular world is set up. But what about in a Jewish organization where everything else is equal, where the people that are the children or other people in the organization? So where do you draw the lines? And the chaluk ideas, it's not so simple. The chaluk ideas among the rabbanim, when every case has to be analyzed, but there are definitely opinions that say yes, there is such an inyan of yasisa hayosha vehatav. Who are you going to get? You're going to get someone that's so much better. You're going to go out of a search committee. You're going to find a candidate that's going to be pisim. But I'm saying, the person that's here, he knows the people. He wants the job. He's entitled to the job. There is such a concept in halacha of dina de bar mitzvah v'yosisa hayosha v'hatoif. Unless he is flawed, he's fatally flawed, unless there are major problems with this person, okay, that's a different situation. But is there such an inyan? The answer is, it all depends. It's a very complicated shayla. This halacha is not so easy. Okay.
He wrote a sefer by Ron Kuhn. He wrote a sefer that by Rav or a
dai, yeah,
is no kadima, you take...
Anyone who you want.
Who's qualified.
Yeah.
That whole Kadima business is a distortion. It's a Nayama.
Every case is different.
He traced it historically 400 years ago, and because he wrote it in the Sefer, they put him in Cherem B'nai Brach.
Because he wrote it in the Sefer, they put him...
That there's no Kadima to Rebbes in the...
Not Rebbe. It's not a Rebbe. I'm not talking about Rebbes. No. Rebbes is a dynasty. That's a dynasty. That's
even
a...
In the city.
Right. I'm talking about a regular Jewish institution. Now, I'm not talking about a shul, a school. I'm talking about a kashrus organization. Talking about a shul. Like a regular, a young Israel type of shul, not talking about chassidus. What are the parameters? It's very complicated. There is no one answer that fits all. Every situation is different. What exactly is this? You just can't paskin like this. The answer is no. The assistant rabbi is no different than anyone else. And everyone should, unless you want to say that when he took the job, he signed on the dotted line, there are 100 conditions, even if there are conditions, doesn't mean necessarily you have to follow those conditions either. You have to know what the halacha is. Who says they have a right to make such conditions with the assistant rabbi? Who says you have such rights to make conditions? What are the rules? There is no one answer that fits that every situation, but there definitely is an issue. You just can't dismiss, you just can't go to a rav, a place like Hadar, and I'll say, no, dismissed. I'm not even going to look into the question. You can't do that. There is such a thing called dinu de bar mitzvah. There is such a thing called v'yasisa hayosha v'hatoiv, and it has to be analyzed. It might very well be that the conclusion is no, he's not the right person for the job. This is not ruch. We want to have a search committee. We want new candidates. But you just can't dismiss it out of hand.
Sometimes change since you got the position.
Right, there are a million variables. There are a million factors and variables. You just can't dismiss it out of hand. Okay, we'll stop here.